Hello, operatives. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 15 of Once Upon a Kill Team, the podcast about narrative play in Warhammer 40k Kill Team. I am Jason.
And I'm Sean, and we want to talk to you about building stories around the gameplay in this grim, dark, terrible universe. In this episode, we reveal the funnest bespoke kill teams to play or play against. Not the most competitive or top tier, but the ones that bring the most joy.
Before we get to that, though, of course, we always start with traditional hobby corner. Sean, what have you got?
I've got a treat. I've been building up my Scorpions. How's that?
Stinger.
Oh, yeah. Jason and I managed to do the swap of the models just after recording our last podcast. And I've had the time to accrue some more bits.
And we have pizza and a beer.
We did have pizza and a beer. It was great. Good. So I've been building up my Scorpions. I've got my 5 Scorpions, and then I've done an extra Exarch that's going to be like my narrative model for the Exarch, because some people might get iffy in a tournament, whatever. So I've built up my 5 Scorpions and the Phoenix Lord Arhra. It's really hard to spell.
That's easy for you to say.
A-R-H-R-A.
Arhra.
And here he is.
Oh, my lord. Okay, listeners, he's looking pretty badass in a fantastically dynamic pose about to chop. He's just chopped someone's head off, and he has the crab claws of doom, presumably. What's the official name for that?
It's just a scorpion's claw.
Scorpion's claw. Yeah, that is what... Actually, yeah, of course, they don't just sting. They can grapple you as well. Okay, yeah, no, he looks great.
Yeah, so I've used the Drazar from the Drukhari range as the base model, because rumor is that Drazar is the Phoenix Lord who went bad. So, and he's suitably spiky, and he's still got like the carapace armor and everything. I'm really happy.
Awesome. You need to get these guys into some action and start slicing and dicing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you're going to think I'm going to be really boring, because the rest of the Scorpions, apart from mixing up some of the poses, I just built up as is.
What?
Out the box.
What have you done with the real Sean? Have you been abducted and this is some shoddy clone or something?
Shoddy. That's my craft.
The real clone. The real Sean would have done some kit bashing.
I've swapped around the arms and the heads and everything to be for my Scorpions to have more dynamic poses than than a lot of other people. So there's not as many, guns pointing up in the air, like trying to make them look like they're sneaking and crouching and skulking around.
Yeah. Didn't we agree that the chainswords are unlike an Imperial chainsword, which tells everybody within a 5-mile radius that people are coming. the striking Scorpions ones are silent. Is this correct?
Completely silent. I think they run frictionless. And I saw a beautiful paint job on the Eldar Discord where someone had painted up that the chainswords looked like it was like it had lots of tiny lightsabers as the teeth of the chainsword. Well. So it's like there's not even like a mechanical function. It's just energy whirring around. That was really cool.
Sure. It's ridiculous. Of course it's 40K. Yeah. now I can believe that. That sounds really good. Yeah. Really good. Nice work there.
So I'm going to do a side-by-side. I know it's an audio medium. So this is my Striking Scorpion Exarch. This is Drazar next to my Howling Banshee Exarch, who's Janezar, and they're going to be the leaders of my kill team.
They are looking pretty striking. We'll get pictures of those on the
Send them over.
So look out for those. But they're looking very strong.
Although
the Banshee one in particular looks like it's just dying to get something to snap off.
It's a bit fragile. And let it never be said that I've modelled for advantage. I always model for disadvantage.
No, it's about 7 feet tall.
Yeah, exactly. So that's it kill team wise, but Necromunda wise, I've been getting excited as the Cult of Condensation is expanding and adding more people to the roster. So I haven't done anything yet, but I've been buying up bits. And I've decided that I need someone with a harpoon launcher.
Of course.
So that I can pull people off of vehicles or ledges.
Yep.
I need a mole launcher.
Sorry, does that go underground?
It goes underground.
Right, okay.
imagine the spotter's barrage.
Yeah.
But you shoot a grenade that drills underground and just pops up under the ground.
Yeah, sounds legit.
And then last but not least, I'm doing a mutated Ogryn based off of the most recent Warcry warband of Ogors. I've got the Screamer who's doing like this big howling pose, like screaming up to the sky. And she's going to be kitted out with a proper patch job of armor, just plates of metal strapped on around her to 40k her up.
You had me, Ogryn. There you go. I'm a sucker for an Ogryn, so that sounds amazing. Yeah, no, well done.
That's everything. I think I've been in the new house for a while, and I'm settling back into my old ways.
Good, good, good.
What about yourself? Has anything been on the painting table?
Yes, it's been narrative. No, not narrative. Terrain month. I mean, it's been narrative a bit, but terrain month. So one of the things that I've managed to do is paint up the bits that come with the salvation box. So they all look like bits of machinery that are most of the objectives for the salvation missions. And I've done them in a kind of burgundy color with bronze metal bits. And for the first time, I got myself some fluorescent orange paint. So for the sort of, you know, the power electronic-y looking bits on them, I've tried to go for this sort of bright orange. And against the red, I think it looks quite nice. But this, it's my first go. Comes out very thin. Do you have used fluorescent? It's a very thin paint.
I haven't used any actual fluorescent paint. I've used the technical paint Tesseract Glow from Citadel. And I found that to be the opposite. That's too thick. So I imagine actual fluorescent paint would be quite thin because you don't need as much pigment.
No.
Unless you want to layer it up and have it really be kind of in your face, which of course we do.
Well, and in another bit of excitement, in transit, so I just ordered one bottle and it came in a very small jiffy bag, and it must have been banged at some point, so the top had sort of broken off, the very tip. When I opened it, there was like fluorescent leakage everywhere, and it did look like, you know, someone's some Day-Glo blood had gone everywhere. But it's kind of okay. I just sort of put a bit of tape over the top. It's good. So that was good. Now it's ready for. Oh, and in another exciting news. So, friend of the show Nick has been sending me pictures of he's been painting his Beta Decima terrain, and it looks amazing. But I'm not sure if he's got the narrative, the Salvation narrative terrain yet. So if we next time I play him, we can combo up, and it's going to look great.
Combined.
Talking of Beta Decima, I've finished making all of the platforms and the ferrotonic furnace with the, you know, landing pad thing on the top. They're all built, and, you know, I've got the ferrotonic furnace is largely made out of a Coffee Mate tin. The platforms are foam board with some sort of tubes that I've got that had hydro tablets in. I've cut up, and I've put some, I forget what these bits are called now, but, you know, some plastic on the top to make it look like sort of girders.
And this is all to the exact scale, isn't it?
This is...
It's a one for one.
Yeah, let's not actually measure it down to the millimetre, because, you know, I've been doing all this with a craft knife.
Yeah, of course.
It's all very close to being...
Yeah, it's a best approximation.
The coffee mate tin is like about one, maybe 2 centimeters higher than the the GW one. Yeah. But you know, we're just gonna have to go with it. And I am intending to. I've got myself a nice bright yellow spray can, and so it's all going to be done in a nice, very bright yellow with sort of burgundy, you know, stripes and things, just to sort of.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. That'll be...
I think that's going to look really good once you paint all that up.
I'm really pleased, because on the... So to sort of... instead of the... on the top, so it looks like grid mesh walkways. I've got some... it's actually underfloor non-slip mat. But when you cut it out, it's really easy to cut out and put on the top, and it just looks like... Once I've got it painted, it'll look like a sort of metal... textured flooring. Super pleased with that.
And the other side is that your operatives won't go for a swim if you knock them.
Sure. the only minor issue with it, and I'm going to have to get around this somehow, is it's all a bit light. So the top is foam board. Because the legs are kind of hollow plastic, and it's all quite thin. So I kind of feel I need to sort of weigh down. The legs are all hollow, so I can generally put something in it, but I might...
Maybe grab some rocks from the local park.
Maybe. And sort of glue it in. Yeah. Yeah. So I think if I do, put something in the bottom of the legs, as it were, it'll be quite sturdy. Anyway, very Sweet. Pleased. Very pleased. And now, for my final bit of hobby, I'm going to have to issue a trigger warning.
Some bad news.
This is the horror that I'm imagining. Nobody wants. So I was about to, we'll go on to games in a minute, but I was about to play a game with the Void Boys troop, and I keep my minis in really, really useful boxes as a brand name. And I was getting it off a high shelf, which, Sean, you may be able to see even behind me, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Some boxes up there. I have to sort of reach up, and I was reaching up, and I'm not sure what happened, but it slipped out my hand and dropped. And I did actually catch it before it hit the ground. But it goes without saying that all the minis just crashed inside the box.
Oh.
The ones that weren't the Void Boys troop all seemed to have survived fine. But all the Void Boys troop, because they're resin... And I super glued the things like hands and stuff on. It was all super glued because you can't melt that together like you can with plastic.
No, it doesn't react the same way.
And so almost all of those bits fell off or snapped off. And a couple snapped off the bases. And it's one of those things where you have about 5 seconds where you're just looking at it, in sort of dumb horror. But I have to say, none of it was... irreparably damaged, and I either glued it or used a bit of green stuff on a couple of bits to put it back together, and it's all fine now. But that wasn't a great moment.
Oh, it's heart-wrenching, isn't it? Or stomach-churning even.
So sorry there if anyone else has experienced this. I commiserate considerably. Anyway, let's put that behind us and talk about games. What have you been playing?
Absolutely no Kill Team on my front. However, I'm now 2 games into my very first Necromunda campaign, and I'm loving it. I'd like to give a big thank you to Arbiter Lee, who's giving it a go at taking the reins and running the campaign, just like a DM would for D&D. And I've discovered that my gangers spend an awful lot of time pinned, looking up at the ceiling. However, should they get into engagement range and melee combat, and swing an axe, they pop off pretty hard. So I'm, of course, being happy by rolling dice and getting absolutely stomped on 2 games in a row.
Oh, no.
The first game was really cool. We got to bring our vehicles along, and we had to kind of scavenge some salvage from a crashed ship that's landed down in this irradiated desert, the Ash Wastes. And I went up against Lawrence's Goliath gang.
They're the guys who look like they're from punk rock, right?
Yeah, exactly. They've got big mohawks. Some of the mohawks are even chainsaws that I'm fairly sure go through the brain.
Oh, God, okay.
And that was really cool. I was really worried he was gonna absolutely crush me. He had this gun called a Storm Welder that like arcs lightning between your operative, your gangers.
Wow.
But it turns out if you bring enough flamers like I did, I brought a heavy flamer and a hand flamer, even if they do no damage, people panic when they are on fire. And he had one of his champions on a bike who just like Ghost Rider streaking across the desert on fire, not really doing anything of any use.
Well,
so that was really good fun.
Make an entrance.
Exactly. And then the second game we had a three for all. We had three of us on one board, and we were inside the crashed ship this time on Zone Mortalis, which is, imagine, Into the Dark, but all the walls are a bit chunky.
Okay.
And you got big. It's more. I don't know. It's meant to represent the lower levels of the Hive City. So it's all big corridors and expansive spaces, but the walls are about 3 inches thick. So okay. It properly separates the board if you go down one corridor or the other. And I went up against some more Goliaths. These were Freddy's Goliaths. They were different. And then I went up against a cold trader team that consisted of orcs, crew from like a dredging ship, and some sneaky assassins. And that was just Bedlam. It was really good fun though.
Naturally you won. Yeah.
Morally, yes.
That's what counts. So yeah.
I
mean, plot spoiler, I morally won quite a few of my games. Yeah.
I always morally win. But that's it. Two games in, and I'm really enjoying myself. I'm learning the game as I go. People have been very patient, and everyone at the club's really nice. So it's just been a win-win-win.
That is definitely what counts. This game is made by the people, I think. So that is really good to hear.
What about yourself? You say you've been morally winning.
Well, I don't want to bury the lead. Anyway, here come the Sky Shredders. So this is my second ever outing with the fantastic Void Boys troupe. So this is the proxy for Harlequin Void Dancer troupe, but with Orc Storm Boys and a Weird Boy instead of the Shadow Seer. I'm supremely pleased with myself with having this team. It brings a lot of joy just looking at them. We were playing on Beta Decima, the James Whale 75. We think we've plugged him before on here. He does some amazing paint jobs on his stuff. Honestly, if you don't already follow him on Instagram, please do. You're in for a treat. His latest scouts were Legion of the Damned. Damn, they look good. Anyway, he brought his Beta Decima. I'm playing with a team that has all the operatives with fly. I know what you're thinking, Sean. Surely that's a. Do we even need to roll any dice? I've won, right? I've won.
You'd think so.
Yeah. There's no way you could lose that. Well, let me tell you, James's Hyrotech Circle had a couple of things to say about this. The first thing he had to say was, oh yeah, and here's a nano mine right on the one objective that everybody's after. So it doesn't matter if you can fly if you can't move very far.
No.
So
it all slows down and goes.
That was fun. And then the other thing that is more, well, I suppose it's Necrons are pretty hardy anyway, but I kept charging people or shooting at them with, you know, fusion guns. And I think at least four of his operatives got down to one wound. So I don't know if anyone's familiar with the Mountain Side YouTube channel.
Yeah, Mountainside Tabletop.
They have the 1 HP gang as their thing, and I need that T-shirt now because I got four of his guys down to 1 HP. It's just so galling. And including his leader. You really want to kill the Hierotech leader, right? The Chronomancer is a beast. And I got him down to one wound, and then, of course, he regenerates some, and oh, my God. So
managed to resurrect them quite a bit as well.
Yeah, yeah. I eventually did kill the leader, and then he resurrected back with about 8 wounds. So, and one of the immortals, excuse me, one of the immortals, I think my knob used the neuro disruptor on him maybe twice, and he got charged, and I think he was still on about 1 wound or something. Anyway, he was like, he lived up to the name immortal. He was almost unkillable. however, even when you lose with the Void Boys, they have this, you know, they charge in and they roll a lot of dice. Loads of their weapons are 5 dice.
Whoa.
And you're usually, you know, it's 2 up, 3 up. A lot of fun. Although, you know, they're still made of kind of wet paper, though. So the great glass cannon. And if this was even more so, in my second game, I played Tom from our narrative group and his inquisitorial agent team, which, again, great, great paint job. And his auxiliary troops were some breachers, which was, you know, good. So, because we were playing Into the Dark. So I went high, and then the second game, you know, this game with the inquisitorial agents went low. And, oh my God, this is one of the most roller coaster games I've ever played. We had, as ever on Into the Dark, nobody does anything on turn one. And then turn two is absolute murder. And it was absolute murder, but for me. So I lost 4 operatives in one turning point out of 8, half my team in one. But one of them was just so ridiculous. So I was a bit cocky, thinking I've got really good close combat people here. So I charged. I didn't even look who it was. I charged someone. It turned out to be the Repentia. Repentia? So
yes.
I said, say that right. So this is massive chainsword, but no armor. But that's okay, because when you've got a 5 up, feel no pain, and you roll all of them. So I charged this person who didn't have that many wounds, thinking that this would be I was going to charge that person, and then I was going to shoot someone else or throw a grenade at somebody else. I had this whole plan worked out. Didn't kill her. She killed my operative, and then in the next activation, she charges around the corner, kills another one of my operatives in close combat.
Oh, horrific. In two is that the quest keeper?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Someone with a big chainsword, anyway.
A lot of people have been swapping them out for a Repentia with a chainsword.
Yeah, looked great. Such a great pose. So within, like, 2 breaths, two people eliminated, and that meant that whole side of the board kind of collapsed a bit. That sort of collapsed my flank.
Yeah, it would.
And then for the we were playing I forgot the name of the mission, but you basically have to switch things on and then siphon some fuel. Of course, being a Rocket Boys, I was after some fuel. And he was able to switch off the pump, and I didn't have enough people on that side of the board to get there. Oh, and he used his hatch cutter to, like, you know, whatever it is, solder up, arc weld the door shut, and then it takes 2 AP to open a door. So I was out of the game. So then it was just a matter of having fun. And then in turn 3, with my 4 remaining operatives, somehow he failed to kill anyone. And then it was mostly on Overwatch. I just killed half his team. It was really weird. And so he had this. So, you know, the end of turn 2, I was like, oh, God, well, this is it then. There's not much left in this game. And then by the end of turn 3, Tom was like, oh, my God, all my people have disappeared. So great game. Tom was a fantastic sport. And we rolled with chance a lot there.
And, oh, it sounds like great fun.
Yeah, so I've got to say, the Void Boys, you know, for Void Dancers, are a bit of an adjustment for me, because I'm either used to playing Horde teams where if somebody dies, I'm not very upset about it generally, because it's got loads more. Or if I've played, you know, as I have a bit recently, played Space Marines, you know, they're pretty hardy. So it does hurt when they go down, but you know, they don't go down that often.
No.
Whereas this lot, they hit like a truck, but don't have many wounds. So I've got to get to grips with this team that kind of dies quite easily, but is also just incredibly killy. Anyway, it's going to be an adjustment. But
it's the definition of a glass cannon, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I've got to say, though, it's pretty sweet when you can charge, fight, and then shoot someone else and kill them both. That's pretty nice.
You're talking to the elite man. I know all this.
Of course
it's
you do.
It's good fun.
I'm not used to this at all. Anyway, a couple of great games there. Really, thanks to James and Tom for some good games. I can't wait to play either of them again soon. Okay, how about some Kill Team news?
Of course. So, did you miss out on buying the Salvation Box? Well, fear not. The Scouts and Scorpions are getting their individual releases very soon. And they may have even gone on
today.
Pre-order by the time... Was it today?
You can pre-order it today.
pre-orders are out. It may even be up regularly by the time this comes out. I don't know how long it'll take to edit. But that's not all. The teams are coming out, yes. However, I see that you've written the Scout rules, but actually the Blades of Kane rules are up there as well.
Yeah.
Scout and Blades of Kane rules are all available on the Warhammer community website in the download section.
It's pretty handy.
What do you think this means? Do you think that they... Because I think a lot of people may have already had models appropriate for their collections. Do you think they were giving out the rules for free for people to use their already existing collections? Or do you think... I don't know.
Well,
everyone that's bought the teams will have got the rules anyway, won't they? No, the rules were in the terrain box.
That's right. Or the Salvation Box. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, these are both very 40K compatible teams. So if you're a Marine player, getting a squad of Scouts, I'm sure, is a thing for 40K. And Scorpions are definitely very 40K compatible because they're all the bleeding same.
Yeah.
I guess they're more than ever. They're thinking, how do we convert 40K people to Kill Team, I suppose.
I think it bodes well. Obviously, we love having the books, but it might make it more accessible to people who don't have the books or maybe just want to dabble. They can just download a PDF and give it a go, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I know through
official channels.
Because they were going on sale on the GW site for like 45 quid each. And if you bought the Salvation Box for £80, you got two teams and loads of other stuff. So, you know, it's not quite such a good deal if you're buying them separately, money-wise.
No.
I kind of applaud it. I quite like the books, though. I mean, I've got to be honest, I you know, I'm a sucker for all the fluff in the beginning, and I treat it a bit like a kind of bit of bedside reading. How sad
they're really good to leaf through.
And you know, we're a narrative channel, so I do like to kind of, you know, absorb all that before we, you know, and I get really into it. I think it bodes well. I'm not 100% sure we'll see it for all the teams, but if we do, I think it could be close.
Yeah. At the time of recording, we do not have a pre-order date for Kill Team Nightmare, but I think we're expecting it pretty soon.
Yeah, I mean, timetable-wise, if we're going to have three more teams, including Nightmare, three more boxes before the end of Season 3, then they have to get a move on if... As we sort of suspect, there's going to be a whole, you know, new version. Oh, about a whole new version. Probably a tweaked version,
yep.
I suspect. I don't know, autumn. But the whole timetable seems to have slipped, so who knows what's going on with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold my breath.
I have to say, I'm not planning on getting the Kill Team Nightmare, so on a personal note, I'm not so worried. But for all you out there who are Night Lord lovers and, you know, whatever these Mandrake things turn out to be, they someone's going to be keen, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You're keener on that, aren't you, I think?
I love the lore of the Drakkari. So I've been listening to the Soul Drinker books, Night Lord's trilogy. They've been fantastic. But I think I'll also pass on the models. I've got enough teams for now. I've got my World Eaters to focus on. And my Blades of Cain.
Yeah, and let's not forget the Navy Breachers.
Whoa. Too soon. They are in a box. They've been on my mind. It's actually been a like almost one of those waking nightmares of like, oh my god, I never mind my inquisitorial agents that I've also got as well.
Oh, it's going to be the next thing I brought up, sure.
I think I'll get round to them when I'm happier with green stuff. I think that's what's holding me back is I need some more practice. I don't want to scuff them up. And I know that's part of the argument is like, oh, just get in there and do it. Like, give it a go. You can always take it away again. But I'm too much of a coward.
No, also, if it's not perfect first time, you're a loser and it's rubbish and you should give up hobby forever, I think.
Well, you heard it here first, folks.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm the absolute opposite of that viewpoint. I mean, I think probably the answer is you do some experiments on models you're less worried about, I guess.
Yeah, I am excited to do them because I've got they're all undead and I had such great plans for them, and here we are, what, 18 months later, and they're still.
I feel I've just opened a wound. I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to. It's only because I love that idea too. I think they are a pretty good team. So
yeah, and I can use them as ancillary support for the inquisitorial team as well.
That's right. Anyway, I'll finish baiting you.
Oh my dear.
Since you're always so nice to me. some slightly sadder news. It seems Andy Glosshoff Dead is taking a little bit of a pause from Kill Team. I'm reasonably sure he doesn't listen to our show, but I did want to say when I first got into this back in 2021, and I haven't been in the hobby before that for like 25 years or something, 20 years. His were pretty much all the videos that I watched to get into this. I got very excited, you know, in the run-up to the opening of Kill Team 21, watching his stuff. So it's, yeah, a bit of a shame that he's taking a pause, but I did want to absolutely support him for doing so. I think it can be quite stressful being a content, you know, creator. We do nothing like the number of bits of output. You know, we tend to do this roughly monthly, maybe slightly 3 weeks to monthly, and that's about right for us. I think we very firmly only do this because we enjoy it, and I think if at any point we stop enjoying it, I'm afraid we're probably going to stop. Hopefully not.
We've
not
talked
soon,
about this, haven't we?
Yeah,
we're having regular check-ins to make sure that everyone's happy and that we're enjoying what we're doing, and I think that's really important. And actually takes quite a lot of courage to go, do you know what? I'm not enjoying this. And rather just doing it because that's what I do, I'm going to refocus and redirect my attention elsewhere to maybe something that I do enjoy more so.
Yeah. And I, you know, I hope it is just a pause for him and that he'll come back to the Kill Team world at some point when he sort of recharged his batteries. But whether he does or not, anyway, hope Andy you're okay, and take care, buddy. Mailbag time. Right, I've got a question for you, listeners, so close your eyes and imagine, unless you're driving, don't close your eyes if you're driving. Close your eyes. Are they closed? Imagine, if you will, how high are the ceilings in the into the dark. Right, so we have you know, terrain dictated by walls. But how high are you imagining the ceiling to be, the top of the top of that? Sean, what are you imagining?
Top of the walls.
Top of the walls. Well, that's kind of what I thought. Even though some of the models might have to duck, like I think some of the Tyranid Warrior might have to duck.
And that makes sense.
Not if you're the rules writer of the scout team, though, because one of the things I was thinking was the Hunter. So he's the guy with the grapnel launcher who Spider-Mans into combat and gets a 3+. So I was thinking, obviously, he grapnels into the ceiling of the, you know, into the dark ceiling. And then that's his launch point for, you know, knifing someone in the face. But it seems not. It seems in the rules, the ceilings are, you know, not a vantage point. You have to be under a vantage point. But because ceiling isn't a vantage point, it's not. Anyway, thematically, I thought that was nonsense. But I guess.
I'd say that if you're on the ground, no. If you're on the ground, you are lower than what advantage point would be, which is more than 3 inches higher than the floor level. So I think that's
sure.
Fine.
But I mean, you know, I did ask John from Can You Roll a Crit, and I do kind of respect him rules wise. Yeah. He kind of said no. So anyway.
Man.
I'm only salty because that was exactly the scenario I was hoping to use with the scouts, because I quite fancy using the scouts again soon. Anyway, there you go. That's my griping. I don't do much griping on here, do we? But
how about a Hearts of Oak lore update? We've got a couple of more juicy tidbits of information that have for our homebrew chapter. Every Space Marine needs to have a special hatred for someone. It's what makes the 40k universe go round. Some friends of the show have a short list, and so we're going to put it out to a vote. The choices were Death Guard, Iron Warriors, Eldari Corsairs, or Necrons.
And the votes are in. The sworn enemies of the Hearts of Oak are those dreadful and disgusting servants of Papa Nurgle, the Death Guard. Poisoning forests and spreading contagion is something that needs to be stopped. I would also say, on a personal note, I bloody hate Feel No Pain and all those other can't kill them mechanics that the Death Guard have, so or Nurgle legionaries. So this fits both the lore of people trying to, you know, keep nature in check, but also my own personal FNP hatred. In addition to that, we're going to do this live on the show. So which founding are the Oaks from? I'm going to do a live roll. I've got a randomizer here. So the randomizer is between 3 and 26. So I don't want them to be like a first or second founding chapter. But I kind of think anything in between would be fine. Yeah. So here we go. I'm going to generate it now. It is the 15th founding. Hold on, let me look. I've got the... there is no 15th founding.
Wonderful.
Well, there is a 15th founding, but there's nothing particular happens. But I can make something happen.
Yeah, of course. Just because it's undocumented doesn't mean it didn't happen.
No, it's one of the unstated... Yeah, you don't get much between 10th, then you get 13th, and then there's nothing... until 19th. Anyway, 15th founding. Okay, we'll put that in as a rumor. We're getting some progress here. Yeah, nice.
We've also had a friend of the show, Tommy, who recently supplied us with some lore for the Hearts of Oak. He's painting up his own squad for the chapter. You sent some decals over, and they're going to look right good.
I think they are. Yeah. That's very exciting.
So if any other listeners fancy joining the podcast's official chapter, we'll send you some. Just let us know, and it'd be fab to have you join us.
Join us. Join us. A quick report on an introduction to Kill Team narrative event that was organised by my friend George. A little, I think it was 8-person event. Sounds very nice. Here is the title, though. I like it.
The Tyranids are masters of Syster Cluster. Only Beta Decimus survives. Oceans are now battlefields.
In a far-flung corner of the Sisestra cluster, a barren planet escapes the notice of the Hive Fleet, its ruined surface pockmarked with industrial debris and toxic seas, too meager a prize to divert the glutinous tendrils as the rest of the system is slowly digested. Scattered bands of survivors make planetfall on this mysterious world. Will they find salvation? Do you see what they did there?
Dum-dum. it's a 3-mission event, and it sounds like they had a brilliant day. They used the Kills leaderboard that the New York Open guys pioneered, and it ended in a dead heat between a Technomancer and a Sniper Boy. As a decider, they did a 1v1 shootout with the Orc Boy as the ultimate winner. And as a final piece of spice, this was a husband and wife. I hope they reconciled.
Yeah, do you think the sort of drive home was a bit like silence? I love that, though. What a bit of drama at the end.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, there's loads more. I mean, George runs a great event, I think, and a lot of the people had never played Kill Team before, so what a fantastic introduction to go straight into that. Just wanted to add, really, that if you're organising a narrative event, either tell us beforehand and we'll plug it if you like that, or tell us how it went afterwards. We love these little details to come through. Contact us on onceuponakillteam@gmail.com or message us via onceuponakillteam on Instagram or onceuponakillteam on Threads.
We should probably get onto our main topic.
Yeah.
So, the funnest bespoke kill teams of seasons 1 and 2. Way, way back when in episode 10 of the podcast, we first did a survey for you, the listeners, of which teams are the funnest, not the best, no regard for tier lists, just what brings people the most joy to play. And back then we had a lot fewer bespoke teams and folk were more likely playing compendium teams than not. So we felt it was overdue to revisit, as there's now 26 bespoke teams available by the end of Season 2, and a lot of them are pretty damn fun. So let's see which ones hit that joy button.
Before we get down to the choices themselves, it's worth pointing out that every team in the survey got at least 1 or 2 votes, so there are no teams with 0 votes. So somebody likes, at least, you know, every bespoke team has somebody who likes it. Not just likes it, but thinks it's one of their favourites. So in a way, there are no wrong answers, but we're going to pretend that there are.
But before we go to our listener responses, why don't we have a little voice of what we ourselves think? So, Jason, who's your favourite team to play?
Okay, so to put this in context, I've played 16 different teams, 2 of which were compendium teams and 2 of which were homebrew teams. So I've really only played 12 different bespoke teams myself. I don't know how that averages, so it's sort of certainly less than half of the total. And out of those,
I still feel like that's tons.
That's not bad, I suppose. But out of teams I've played, so I've not played all of them, I've really, really enjoyed the Phobos. I love a sneaky team. They were top sneaky, top, you know, spec ops, special forces. Loved that. Found it very refreshing that they were, you know, 6-model team. Bit complicated to play. And I played them in the era before they got, you know, boosted in the data slates.
Yeah.
Lot of fun. Blooded. Oh, that was good fun. Very direct. You've only got to do one thing. You've got to kill everybody. But, you know, can I just say Ogryn? You know, that's such fun. I mean, I did a kind of loyalist Ogryn rather than a Chaos one. Loved modelling it. Such a fun team. Really enjoyed that. But still my top for funsies team is the Wormblade, probably. They are sneaky, loads of sneaky tricks, bit all turn one, really. But and then Kellamorph, best character in the game, best operative in the game. Love him, or her, or it, never sure. Yeah, those are my faves, I'd say. Although I've got to be honest, with only a couple of games in, but Void Boys Trooper might be a contender if we ever do this again.
Ooh. Hot off the press. The painting, the freshly painted team might be fun.
Yeah.
That's a really good variety. And then
playing against?
Playing against. But I'm trying to think of... I haven't even played that many teams. You carry on.
Do you know, I don't think I've listed all the teams I've played against, but it's more. It's definitely more. Yeah. Always enjoy a game against Legionary. They are, you know, there's not many of them, but they're all pretty fun. And I think the Anointed might be one of the funnest single characters in the game. I've only played them a couple of times, but the Gellipox have just been absolutely flipping terrifying each time, and the games have been quite thematic, and they're just nutters. Quite like those, they're just terrifying. But you know, cliche possibly, but Commandos, partly because we played so many games with you playing the Commandos, Sean.
Yeah,
they're just bloody great. And I'm always willing the Bombsquig to do something. I want, even though it's against me, I sort
You're
of
cheering
want,
it on.
I sort of want the Bombsquig to come off. Right, so what about you? What about you?
Well, I haven't played anywhere near the same amount of teams, so it was quite easy for me to whittle it down. My favourite bespoke team is All Khorne Legionaries.
Yep.
Simple, smooth brain, but it's actually quite a lot of sneaky movement tactics, meaning that I've got the opportunity to control the board if I focus on moving rather than just killing. And I was having a reflection on this, and if I use killing as a means to move further, then I can probably get to a lot of places that people just aren't expecting me to have operatives. I think they're a really good control team. I really enjoy them.
Yep. No arguments there.
And then against the standout one for me is Farstalker Kinband. They're just really fun to play against because you never remember what all of their different varied guns do. And it's never what you're expecting when they just go, oh, this happens. And you're like, really? Sweet. Roll some dice.
Yeah. Especially if you think you're about to fire on the pistolier and it's like, no, I'm going to fire on you. Au contraire.
Uno reverso.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, that's me. I really like playing against the Fast Orcas. I've played them... I played them with you, with Nimrod, and against a couple of other people as well. It's just been really, really good fun.
Yeah, you should definitely play me more because I can barely remember all the rules on my Fast Uncle Kinband, so you wouldn't have the same problem. Okay, should we get down to listener?
Yeah. Now, all right. I don't know the responses, so I'm going into this blind.
Yeah, I think this would be quite fun. So Sean doesn't know what it is. So I'm going to do this in reverse order. So this is the funnest to play yourself. So this is you playing. And we, as usual, we've done the not to be taken too seriously categories of not fun, some fun, and funnest. Okay. So in not fun, you have to have got less than 5 votes. In some fun, you have to have got between 5 and 10 votes. Fun is somewhere between 11 votes and anything under the top 3, and the top 3 is the funnest. Okay, so out of 26 teams, in at number joint 25th, 26th, because they got the same number of votes. Halfkin Salvagers. No, they look fun. I've never played them, but they look okay. And I thought more people would have voted for this to be fun for them, at least, Novitiates. But maybe people just don't play them that often these days.
I don't think they get picked all that often. I think the people that play them are kind of, you know, that's their faction, Sisters of Battle.
Yeah. Still at Not Fun at 24, and I'm a little bit surprised at the low ranking here, Exaction Squad, the Space Cops. However, somebody has left the comment, using the subductors to tar pit melee specialists, then shooting them to death with shotguns while they're still in engagement range. I mean, that sounds fun. And having had Sal do this to me about 1,000 times in the Ashes of Faith campaign, I'm surprised more people don't find that fun. Whether it's fun to be against them is another matter. But anyway, that's in the not fun category. That's all, just three in the not fun category. Now we've got quite a big some fun. So here we are. 23, Void Dance Troop. Surprised this isn't higher. I thought they'd be fun to play. You know, more fun to play. And this is the real shocker. Who, at 22, Wormblade. Who's playing Wormblade and is not having the fun of their life? Right, we have a comment. I like the ambush dynamic and how they kind of take a lot of the planning. They take a lot of planning, but when you pop off, they go freaking nuts.
Freaking nuts, man.
They do go freaking nuts. I think that's great. 21, Chaos Cult. Again, I thought they might be fun to play. And there's one comment, which is meat.
Meat.
Just one word. So team I've played a reasonable amount this year, Strike Force Justian. Some fun. We have some comments. Justian is very good to have as a basic team, especially to let other prospective players use and get into the game without fiddling with equipment and loadouts. That is very true. I think they're a great learning team, either to put against someone or to play. Justinian's simplicity makes it fun, though I wish it had more rules. I think that's again justified. So
yeah,
maybe that's where they are. I had fun just for the captain being such a monster.
He's fun on his own.
He's a devil. Okay, 19, so not far in front of the Chaos Cult, Inquisitorial Agents. Again, I thought they'd be funner, but haven't played them this week.
I think it's they're quite complex.
They are quite complex. Anyway, fantastic narrative potential. In fact, I would even argue maybe the most narrative potential. Inquisition is my favourite because of the flexibility. Yeah, you can swap in and out the auxiliary units. I can finally customise and specialise my team according to my opponent. Now, that's interesting because I guess a frequently levelled complaint of Kill Team is no list building or very little. And you get a bit with Inquisitorial Agents.
You get more than most.
You get more than most. Okay, so there's a plus. In at 18, we have Warp Coven. Now, again, having played a friend of the show, Nick, where he'd sort of forgotten how hard they were to play. you know, I think they're doing well to be in at 18. They have all the control game plans, is a comment. And variety in operatives and therefore play style. Oops, all wizards play completely differently than oops, all the other players. So, yeah, I think the sorcerers are everything on this team, and they are. There's some great models out there as well for sorcerers. In at 17.
James is incredible.
Yeah. In at 17, Pathfinders. I mean, surely they. They're fun, fairly fun to play, some fun. In at 16, Elucidian Star Striders, kind of fun. Again, narrative potential, very good. But some fun. In at 15, my favourite team, as you know, Hunter Clade. For long-term listeners of the show, I seem to have always got the... positioning on stuff of Hunter Clade was wrong. We have some comments. Very killy. They are pretty killy. Really nice specialist roles from the Arquebus sniping to the Rustalker melee. And the Rustalker minis also looked pretty damn cool as well, I have to say. Okay, moving up, Hand of the Archon at 14. Very aggressive and killy. Now, this is a, if we're going to go Dark Elves, this is the team that I quite fancy, I have to say. Hand of the Archon. Pain Grenade, Torment Grenade, that's it. In at 13, this is the last team in some fun, Gellipox Infected. We have some comments. Gellipox move forward and just stomp. Can't argue with that. Gellipox is really unique to play and is extremely asymmetrical. Kind of reminds me of Left 4 Dead with the larger units. I'm not familiar with Left 4 Dead. Are you familiar with that?
That's actually a great reference. Left 4 Dead was a fantastic zombie game where you had some bigger, scarier characters and then just all the other zombies running around.
Okay, right. That was the last of some fun. Now we're on to fun. These teams are fun. It's official. Phobos Strike Team in at 12. Phobos are complex and a great challenge to pilot. Yep. Sneaky Spec Ops. Oh, I know you're talking. Yep, I quite like that. I found them pretty fun when I played them. In at 11, Farstalker Kinband. I think we similarly, lots of different operatives, lots of range, and a big melter sort of torrenty thing that is very scary. In at 10, we have Kazakin, heavy range and dice manipulation. And I like this one. They can do the on-demand, you're dead. That, if that's fun, then this is the team for you. Have you been on the receiving end of Kazakin at all?
Once, and it was unpleasant.
Yeah, let's see how well they do. So what I quite like is we're now getting into the more popular teams, and it's often the case of these, some teams are fun for you to, you know, curb stomp your opponent, and then it's perhaps less fun to be on the receiving end. Anyway, in at 9, Navy Breachers. Yeah, okay, pretty got some moves. In at 8, you'll like this one, Felgor Ravagers. They were pretty damn fun. You enjoyed playing them,
really,
I think.
Yeah, they're
good fun. Okay, Felgor Ravagers are choppy little windmills of doom, someone has said. You won't argue there. In at 7, Hyrotech Circle. So, pretty fun. In at 6, one of the most popular teams in the whole game, Intercession.
Ooh.
Intercession for teaching others because there's so little to think about.
Same as Justian then.
Yeah. Again, yeah. But also the fact that you can like make your own chapter and or put it to your favorite chapter, you can still have quite a nice background and flavor on you know, what's quite a bland team, really. He says controversially. Right, in at 5, and this is where we're getting with the top 5 now. The last two teams that are fun. Now, I seem to remember this was a top 3 in the last time we did this this poll. Veteran Guardsmen. This was a top 3 team, slipped to 5.
I mean, you enjoyed them.
I do, but some comments here. Also, Meat. I think this might be the same person. Veteran Guard are a versatile team that plays very differently from game to game. Having 14 models on the board is a great advantage for pushing objectives. Absolutely true. And someone else has written, because I think mortars and indirect are cool. Yeah, I've had great fun with the mortars.
They're not wrong.
No one's mentioned the how bloody deadly the demo mine is.
Maybe you're the demo mine expert.
I'm definitely not the expert on anything whatsoever. Anyway, yes, but I think they are pretty fun. And again, for me, I love the fact that, you know, you could put decent narrative on this. Yeah, that'd be for me. 4. Perhaps not a surprise, but the 4th most fun team is Blooded.
That's cool.
It's pretty cool. So we've got some comments, mostly runner enemy tactics. Yeah. The focus on killing at all costs. Fun buffs. Yep. The blooded, you know, ability. So you get, you know, you get to buff your people. Blooded are made to die. Yeah, that's true. Which is rewarding in a strange way. And the Ogryn is the kill team version of the distraction Carnifex. No getting around that. Diabolic go brrr. Yeah, I had a lot of fun with Blooded. I think you wouldn't go terribly wrong if fun was your thing to pick them. Anyway, top three. This is funnest. I don't know if you've been taking notes on who hasn't been said yet.
I haven't been card counting, no.
Okay, good. You at home, who could it be? In at three, third funnest team, the Eldari Corsair Voidscarred.
There we are.
I always get absolutely diced every time I go up against Corsairs, but they all do cool things. The guy who flips through the air above you and slashes your face off is one that stands out for me. People have commented, every operative has something exciting it can do, and they're all pretty self-sufficient. No. Corsairs are made for shenanigans. With Corsairs, especially because of the lack of reroll things go either exactly as planned or no with absolutely nothing in between, which is quite the laugh. Love that attitude. That is the kind of attitude I love to play against. That's Corsairs. Okay, top two. And they were in the top two last time, I think, from memory. Oh. Number two, Legionary.
Oh, the same ranking as before.
Legionaries just provide so much kitbash potential. Also, they're an amazing use for awesome loyalist rules. Legionnaires are built... Model abilities are just a blast to use. Shrive talent and anointed specifically make the team. Yeah, I think they are awesome individual operatives. I love AP3 teams feeling powerful. And one for you, Sean. Blood for the Blood God. This is all in capitals. And number one, and is still number one, and has never not been number one, funnest team to play by... 11 votes, quite a margin, are Orc Commandos.
There it is.
Orcs are just funny. If the squig blows up on your own units, you just have a laugh. Goofiness, more focus on fluff than meta, at least when I play them. That was a quote. They are each full of different tricks and cool abilities to bring down enemies, but they aren't so combo focused as to be overwhelming. I think that sums them up. Those three comments. You want to have the funnest time, get yourself a box of Orc Commandos. It's funny how the first team out the gate when this whole system launched are still up there now. If Ben from Battle Brothers Tabletop's listening, I can only apologize that Commandos is still top, because I don't think he's felt like they
he's not
his funnest team. Sorry, Ben.
I really enjoyed playing them against you. They were really good fun.
Yeah. I don't think I've had a bad game. I mean, I don't know. There are teams that, I suppose they got the dynamite, or they had the dynamite gotcha before they got eventually data slated, I suppose. But that aside,
I never did that as a move.
No, it's because you're a nice person.
Other plans and schemes. Yeah, well. I try.
You try. But I think they've been sort of fixed. So I don't think that's even an issue, you know, if you even you want to be good. Anyway, okay, here we go. So this is the fun to play against. So Now I am wondering if we should have done this the other way. We should have done funnest teams and worst teams to go up against or something. But if we can infer from the least to the most votes. Okay, so quite a decent not fun category. 26 to 17. So last place, joint last place, I should say, position 25th, 26 are Warp Coven and Inquisitorial Agents. Now, I've just played Inquisitorial Agents, and I thought they were reasonably fun. I suppose they...
I think they can be oppressive.
Can be oppressive.
And the Plasma Cannon, Plasma with Splash...
That's true. I just avoided it, I think. And then I think I went in and chopped his head off. I did have that turn where I went, they just wiped out half my team. Anyway, yes, Inquisitorial Agent Warp Coven, least fun to play against. And then 24, Void Dancer Troop. I think Void Dancer Troop should be the classic, fairly fun to play, but nobody likes playing against them because they break all the rules and, you know, are dicks.
Well, yeah.
But somebody has put in their favour, though. Two people like going against them. Watching a good Void Dancer player at work is a work of art. Well, they haven't watched me, so that's that is fine. In at 23, Novitiates. Now, I'm not surprised by this because they have the whole faith points thing does basically smack of cheating. And you know, fundamentally disagree with trainees being sent in instead of the battle sisters. 22, Elucidian Starstriders.
I've never gone up against them.
Oh, God, I went up against Mikkel, if you're listening. And he just, I was playing Phobos against them, and in each turn he just deleted one of my units. And when you've only start with six, that got rough pretty soon.
Yeah.
You know, with the space cannon laser beam thing. In at 21, Exaction Squad. So it sounds like, is no one liking playing the Exaction Squad or playing against them? Now, I can see how playing against them's rough, because you get hardly any rerolls, because they have the light thing.
They can shut it off, can't they?
They can shut off your rerolls, which, if you're playing the Wormblade as I did, was rough. And then they shoot you in combat. I've got to say, though, a couple of times I've played them, arresting people is fun. It's pretty fun. And even when somebody arrested my Kellamorph and I had to break them out. That was right. Okay, anyway, I'm arguing against the stats here. Number 20, Strike Force Justian. I don't know. Or maybe, I don't know, are they a bit boring? Reliable? Boring? You've played against them.
I think they're fine. I think I think it's hard to find them fun to play against because they're not actually that interactive. They're just there playing the game. Like, they don't, you know, react to what your strategies are, or, you know, they're just fine.
And they don't do anything exciting. They don't have any quirky rules or anything, which is either a plus or a minus. Okay, in at 19, Hand of the Archon. Not played them. I'm very keen to play them. Or play against them.
I enjoy them. They're to play against.
Yeah, okay. In at 18, not surprised this is in the not fun category, Kazakin. Because they can just kill whoever they want.
Kazakh Kings.
And they have the best comms who just sits at the back in hardcover, never moves for the entire game. And I say that as someone who's... Yeah, I didn't even enjoy playing them. Ah, duh, not sneaky enough. Anyway, last of the not funds, 17, Hunter Clade. I'm surprised by this because I've played a few people with Hunter Clade and they seem to love them. But playing against is not as good.
I think when you come up against someone who's loving playing Hunter Clade, you're not going to have a fun time.
No, maybe not. Okay, that was the last of the not funds who all had less than 5 votes. But even Warp Common Inquisitorial Agents got a vote each. Somebody likes playing against them. Okay, in at 16, we're on to some fun now. Halfkin Salvagers. We have a comment. Interesting skew on a 10-man team. 10-man? 10-dwarf team, surely. Not played them, but I'll take your votes for it. In at 15, Chaos Cult. I have played against them. They were definitely not fun because they just killed everything. I think they've been a bit toned down since then, which is good. In at 14, Pathfinders. Now, this is going to perk people up. Smart people play this team. It's a really fun uphill battle. So if you're a Pathfinder player, you're one of the smart guys. I had a very torrid time the one time I played against them. I think I was tabled in 2 turns, so that was a laugh.
Oh, vicious.
Yeah, it was a tournament. That was my my one tournament. Anyway, no one likes... a few people like going up against the Phobos Strike team in at 13. In at 12, Wormblade.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The way you have to think when dealing with them as a reason for liking it. Now, as someone who's played a lot of Wormblade, it's my most played team. If you can survive through a turn one against a Wormblade team, your prospects are looking much better. They have a pretty good turn one. In at 11, Herotech Circle. Herotech can provide for some hilariously bad cursed dice moments with their resurrection protocols. Okay, yeah, I can see this. Either everything resurrects, or if someone rolls badly, nothing resurrects.
Yeah.
Yes,
I imagine it feels great.
Yeah.
When it does work, it feels great.
I bet. Okay, so, yeah, again, having been against the Herotech Circle, that bloody nanomine is just a bugger. Right, in at 10, Felgor Ravagers. I had a great time against Felgor Ravagers. Space Goats, blowing Felgors away from a distance is super fun. Actually, that probably does reflect our game a bit. I think I did a bit of shooting on you. In at 9 is the last of the Some Fun, Navy Breaches. Okay, Some Fun. I can see they are Some Fun. Right, we're now into fun.
Dumb.
All right. These are the fun teams. If you're playing against these teams, you're going to have fun. Okay, in at 8, Gellipox Infected. Terrifying if they get close. It creates a tension in a game that you don't find otherwise. Someone else has just written, scary. I think that's all very true. Absolutely terrifying. But I love, you know, kind of, and those models, don't they look brilliant? Kind of just especially the Hulk things, they are just amazing. Okay, in
yes,
at 7,
they are brilliant.
In at 7, Intercession as a fun team to play against. Intercessors, as they are a low brain loadout team to go against, tough, strong enough to put up a fight. This sounds like toilet roll. But follows the rules without a bad feel, without bad moments where they bend or break one or more of the rules. I guess that's true. They are completely straight up, aren't they? They're just going to, they do what it says on the tin. All right. In at 6 to go up against Corsairs. Now, the comment here, I can definitely verify. Corsairs, as they either hit like a truck or squish like melons. That is a great turn of phrase. In at 5, Farstalker Kinband. I think you said this was your top team to go against.
Yeah, I did. They were great fun.
Fun tricks, but don't feel OP. I'd say that's fairly true.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the last of the fun. Number 4, the fourth funnest team to go against in what could be a controversial moment.
Ooh.
This was a top 3 last time. Legionary, only a top 4 team.
Okay.
Each operative is a powerhouse and represents his own little puzzle to crack. Yeah, definitely. I do like the boss battle feeling of playing into Marines. Bringing a Marine down is usually the payoff of several activations work.
That's a nice way of looking at it.
It is a nice way of looking at it. Some tricks, but almost no gotchas. That is a good point. They simply perform their game plan effectively. It's up to the opponent to disrupt that game plan. I never feel cheated because I forgot an obscure rule. The only expertise with that team is required. Yeah, and then to round it out, scary but fair. Now, scary but fair, these are the Chaos Boys. So, fourth funnest team. I've definitely always... I think I've enjoyed all my games against legionary teams. And usually have some, you know, nice bit of flavour depending on what, you know, Chaos God they're following. All right, in at 3. Okay, here's the big funnest. If you're playing against these teams, you're guaranteed fun, probably. In at 3, Blooded. Right, comments are Bloodbath. That's it.
Yep.
Or Blooded, win or lose, and it's always a fun, bloody affair. Or I maybe would have switched that around to a bloody fun affair. Maybe. Yeah, no arguments there. So are we going to get an upset in the final two? Number two is veteran guardsman. We're not going to get an upset. Veteran guardsman, super balanced, and you have a lot of bodies to fight. It feels like being overwhelmed by a horde. Lots of stuff to kill.
Yeah.
And in at one, they were always the funnest team to play against. Nothing has changed.
So
I'm afraid commandos, because you can blow up a squig on them.
Full stop.
It's like putting down a riot. That is a great turn of phrase. Feel balanced, but with some fun tricks to make them interesting. And then I like this to close it out. Reason they're the funniest to play against. Wah! They're a decent sized team, not too bulky, and you feel like you've accomplished something when you kill one of them. I'd go with that.
Yeah.
There you go, people.
It's official.
It's official amongst all of the bespoke teams in seasons 1 and 2, which is 26 teams. 26. That's not bad. We're blessed. Pretty much, you can't go wrong playing or playing against a commando team.
If commandos are coming to the table, everyone's going to have a good time.
There you go. Hope you enjoyed that. Thank you to everybody who voted. Absolute legends. You'll definitely get some guaranteed crits on your next game. I'm pretty sure that's how this works.
It's exactly how it works.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Thank you, everyone.
Well, look forward to doing that again, probably in a couple of years.
Well, that's it for the show. It's a bit of a long one, but it's a good one. Next time on Once Upon a Kill Team, it's going to be our holiday episode. We're going to don our bathing suits and hit the beach. We'll be talking to T.O. Bruce about his coastal-themed narrative event.
Can't wait. Sounds really good.
It's going to be really good fun.
Looking forward to that. We may have some surprise news on that show. Ooh, so
watch this space.
Watch this space. If you like what we do, it would be amazing if you could help the show out with a couple of Imperial credits via Ko-fi. That's K-O-F-I. That's also the place where you can download our ready-to-play three-game campaign, Escape from Pliskin Island. We also have a super handy narrative cheat sheet and some funky objective markers. There is a link in the show notes to that. Go and download some. You can contribute to the show or download them for free. Would like to say an extra big thanks to Tommy, recent writer of Lore for the Hearts of Oak. He's donated a wad of cash that is a team's worth donation. So my next kill team will be funded by the community. Can't tell you how much this means to us. Big thanks, Tommy. Yeah, you get 10 crits. That's what, you know, that's karma for you.
Thank you for joining us on Once Upon a Kill Team. Just remember, it's not whether you won or lost, it's whether your inquisitorial agents successfully exterminated the Emperor's enemies, bringing a cleansing fire and praise the Golden Throne. See you next time.